Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Twin Steeples podcast here at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Mankato, Minnesota. My name is Drew Nauman, and I am currently the vicar here serving over the summer. I am joined here with Pastor Neil Radical. How are you doing today, Neil?
I'm doing great.
Excellent. We'd like to start out our podcast this morning going to the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 2, as follows. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And Neil, if you could, how would you summarize that passage there for those listening?
Well, we are a very goal-oriented people, and I think it's important for us to consider that, whether it's a sports goal or a career goal or a family goal. We all continue to look forward to having these accomplishments, having these things be solutions for our, whatever the event might be, whatever the project might be, whatever the task or sport might be. Paul uses that analogy of a race set before us in this chapter of Hebrews 12. And he's really pointing us to the end goal. The finish line is with Christ. It was eternal life with him in heaven. And it shows the attitude that Christ had in completing that goal for us. It says, you read, for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. And this really shows us our goal, to meet our Savior, to meet our God and our Creator who loved us so much that was willing to endure that cross, endure that torture, that pain, that misery, to give us that joy of our salvation. So it was his joy in laying down his life for you and for me, and the joy that he gave to us, all the guilt, that despising the shame means the guilt that he bore for us, he was willing to take that on. Even though it wasn't his guilt, he took on that guilt. And now, resurrected, he sits at God's right hand, joyfully continuing to serve us as our King of Kings, and the one who continues to show us the joy of looking forward to his kingdom. That is our end goal that we can look forward to.
Yeah, very well said, Neil. I'm glad that you brought up that despising the shame part, because that's what really jumped out at me. In the previous verse, this section of Hebrews is relating the Christian life to a race. And as someone who does not particularly like running, I can sympathize with despising a certain part of the race, I despise all parts of any race. But especially Christ running his race of humiliation, coming down from heaven and being born as a man, and having to endure all the trials, being tempted in every way in which we are tempted, and then having to suffer and die on the cross and to be hated by his people, abandoned by his friends. So that's not to say that Jesus was true God and true man. He did despise the shame. This was not something that he looked forward to doing, and yet he was willing to do that to accomplish our race for us. It says he's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one who started the race. He's the one who finished it, which parallels pretty well with Philippians 1:6. He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So a lot of comfort to be had in that Hebrews section, knowing that our race has been won for us and the crown of righteousness is ours for Christ's sake.
Let me close the prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that helps us to see the joy that he had in serving us with his very life and death and resurrection. We praise you for giving us the joy of our eternal life with you forever in heaven, a kingdom which we could not earn on our own, but which was freely given to us. And what a blessing it is that as we walk through this short life, we know that you rule in our hearts in our day-to-day lives. Help us to be a witness for you and continue to show the joy that we have in our hearts as being your children, as being your redeemed, as being your people. All of this we praise your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you.
All right, so for announcements this week, we will be continuing our midweek Bible study. I believe that's at 7 p.m. On Wednesday evening through Zoom. We're going to be finishing our study of the Epistle to the Colossians, hopefully, and if we have time, I'd like to get into introducing some of the themes and ideas, and maybe even get in a little bit into Hosea 1. So we're going to be going through Hosea next. I've been working on getting that together, and I'm pretty excited about it. So hopefully you'll all be able to join us for that. Again, that's on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. A few updates from, this would have been 2 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago's voters meeting, in case you missed it. The voters did approve to paint the sides of the sanctuary. Neil, if you have a little more information on that.
Yeah, we still continue. The Board of Property still is trying to do as many updates in the sanctuary while it's not being occupied as much as it normally is, especially during the school year. So you can look ahead to the July voters meeting, and we're going to be trying to communicate even more than we already have about what that plan looks like, and looking for congregational feedback, and definitely congregational participation and voter participation for that July meeting. That is the third Monday in July. And so everyone is welcome to come to that meeting. We'll try to do it both in present and online, and really just try to make some more decisions on what to do next. So the painting isn't underway yet, but we're hoping to get volunteers to help with that, and we can try to start that as soon as possible here when everything comes in the place, and then continue to look at those other things for the voters meeting. So as long as we're talking about the sanctuary, I just want to remind everybody the services are still happening at 6 p.m. on Saturday and 10 a.m. on Sunday. It's live streamed at 10. There was a communion announcement that went out, and so please do sign up on that to make sure that you register for communion, especially if you're taking it online. So there's pickup times on Friday and Saturday. Drew or I will be there to help hand out the communion supplies for the weekend. Also, if you are planning on services and not been doing it, coming and attending the service in person, please do wear a mask. I have not done a good job about responding to people who have not been. But it's not for your own protection, but the idea of protecting the others around you. So think of it in that regard. So please do masks. We're still requiring masks. So if you're not wearing them, we'd like you to do that. We're obviously not going to kick you out of the service, but we'd like you to try to wear masks. I know it's been hot lately, but we'd appreciate that. If it's too hot for you, just probably stay home and watch the service online. But in order to protect those who are wanting to come, please do wear a mask if possible. So we're still at 50% capacity, so that's plenty of space for everybody. And Lord willing, the Lord will give us some cooler weekends here so that the service is a little bit more comfortable.
Thank you, Pastor. Moving on then, our doctrinal question for today is this. Can you love a false teaching neighbor and separate from him at the same time? So the idea being that we are commanded by God in Scripture to love our neighbor, to love everyone around us. They are his creation. But at the same time, there are those who we must recognize as false teachers, those who teach contrary to what God's word teaches. How can we love that person and still separate from them so as to not put ourselves and those we love in danger by exposing ourselves to those false teachings? Do you have any takes on that, Neil?
Very difficult question. One, because your neighbor may not even realize that they're a false teaching person or follow false teaching. So if we're going to simplify that a little bit, I guess we'd probably say, as you're having discussions with friends or neighbors or family members, ask them what they believe. Ask them, you know, if it's something that lines up with Scripture, praise the Lord for that. If it's something that does not line up with Scripture, direct them to Scripture. And ultimately what I'm trying to say is bring the truth to them. So I think that's how we show love to others, is that we share the truth with them. That's how I show love to my children, is I tell them what the right way is to go and what God's word has to say on that in a loving way. Not like I'm right, you're wrong, I'm better than you, but here's what God's word says, and we want to follow the truth as Jesus asks us to do, like in John. Those who worship would worship in spirit and in truth. And so separation comes from that idea of participation, and I don't participate with those who in worship activities. It doesn't mean I can't be friends with them and so forth and talk to them and have conversations, but I wouldn't participate at a Catholic Mass, for example, because I don't agree with what the Catholics teach on that, because I want to worship the Lord in truth. So that's just one kind of example. So you can show love by not participating in religious activities, and more importantly, you can also show love by speaking the truth in love, just as Christ has commanded us to do.
Yeah, very well put, Neil. I'm glad that you separated the two or I should say, you've made the distinction between the two ways that we can separate. We're not to just shun everyone who doesn't believe the same thing that we are. Otherwise, how would the gospel be spread? Rather, we are to separate from those who adhere to false doctrine from a fellowship standpoint. And like you said, even that separation is an act of love because we are trying to show them that they are in error, and by withdrawing ourselves from their fellowship, we are trying to show them that they are on a wayward path and they need to be restored to the true, pure doctrine as laid out in God's word.
Which is what we're always striving for, too.
Right.
False teaching is like cancer, the Bible says, and so we want to deal with that, whether it be in ourselves or in someone else. We try to help ourselves getting the right treatment or someone else too. I kind of interrupted you, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. That's a good point. Yeah, the little leaven leavens the lump. So we got to be careful about that. And in doing so, we are loving those who we are charged to care with, ourselves and our family, because we don't want to expose them to that leaven. We are also trying to show to those people that we're separating from that, this is important. This is something that needs consideration and need to reevaluate their position.
Since that's such a tough question, anytime questions come up like that, please do reach out to us, to study it with us and talk about it more and look at applications. So don't ever hesitate to give us a phone call, visit with us, or send us a message about any questions or concerns you might have in any of those kind of topics.
Yeah, definitely. Pastors are here to serve you, and I am a vicar, and I'm also here to serve you, although I probably won't do as good a job as they will. All right, so that is all that we have for today. Thank you for joining us. We'd like to close with the words of hymn 727 from the worship supplement, Our Paschal Lamb That Sets Us Free. Our Paschal Lamb that sets us free is sacrificed. O keep the feast of freedom gallantly, let alleluias leap. Let all our lives now celebrate the feast, let malice die. Let love grow strong anew and great, let truth stamp out the lie. Let all our deeds unanimous confess him as our Lord, who by the Spirit lives in us, the Father's living word. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia again. Sing alleluia, cry aloud, alleluia. Amen. Once again, we thank you for joining us here on Twin Steeples. I am Drew Nauman. This is Neil Radical, and the Lord be with you throughout the coming week.